The topic of today's shiur is something which I think is very relevant at this time of the year, and also connected in some way to yesterday's parsha. In parsha's Vayishlach, we read of the very elaborate gift that Yaakov Avinu presented to Esav, and that raises the question of what is the status of giving such gifts to non-Jews. Esav was a non-Jew, obviously. In this case, Yaakov Avinu held it was pikuach nefesh. He felt that it was a very, very dangerous situation. But it raises the question, what would be in general to do such a thing? What is the halachic issue, or is there a halachic issue involved? And, of course, it comes most prominently when we discuss the upcoming holiday season. So, to start out, we have a pasuk in Parshas Veschanan. It's on the top of the sheet. Okay, so the Torah tells us, very interestingly, this is in Perek Zion, the Torah tells us regarding the upcoming, the Jews were primed to go enter into Eretz Yisrael. This is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to them, and he says that Hashem is going to bring you into the land of the seven nations. So he says, Unasanam Hashem Elokecha Lefanecha, Hashem will give them over to you. V'ikisam, and you will smite them, you'll be able to defeat them. Hachrem tachrem osam, that you should totally annihilate them. Lo sichros lehem bris, you should not establish any sort of covenant with them. V'lo sichonem is an interesting word. So what does v'lo sichonem mean? So there are. So the Targum Unculus on the pasuk says that you should not have any mercy. Lo sichonem means lo sirachem aleihem. So says the Targum in his interpretation of the pasuk. However, the Rashi on the pasuk, not on the sheet, but Rashi on the pasuk says that this actually means other things as well. The word sichonem has several roots in it. So one of them is the root chen, ches nun, chen, which means that Rashi brings, we'll see in a minute from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that also lo adam lomar kama noa goyze, that a person should not get involved in praising non-Jews. Why not? Because of the fact, presumably, that doing that would bring a person to try to emulate their ways. And therefore, this was part of the idea the Torah had, that there had to be a havdalah, there had to be a separation between Jews and non-Jews. And therefore, lo sichonem, you should not get involved in giving them chen, meaning in finding favor. So you could, the poskim say, a person could praise Hashem and say, wow, it's amazing how Hashem created such a talented person, right? But to say that I admire this person outright is really not such the right thing to do, because of the fact that this will lead a person potentially to want to be like the non-Jew. So the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, if you have a very good eyesight, we have it here on the sheet. The Gemara tells us on Daf Chof Amid Aleph, the Amar Krua, lo sichonem, so the Gemara we'll see now is going to bring three interpretations. Number one, lo sitim lahem chania bekarka, that you should not give the non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael land. You should not give them chania, you should not give a gift of land to Eretz Yisrael. You may recall that we once spoke about this. This is one of the big issues that came up when they would originally put into place the Heter Mechira, when the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael back in the late 1800s were discussing the need to sell the land of Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs for the year of Shemitah in order to avoid the prohibition. So one of the questions that came up was this pasuk. This was discussed at length by the various poskim of the time, was hotly debated. That was not the only issue, but that was one of them, right? Lo sichonem. Okay, that's not the one that we're focusing on right now. Okay, so number one is you should not give them a gift of land in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so the Gemara says, what do you mean? Lo sichonem miboylei d'achikam rachmana. Well, sitim lohem chen. So the Gemara says, 1 minute, but you need, there's another need for this pasuk, because the pasuk means to say that you should not give them chen. What does that mean? Like we said a moment ago, that you should not unduly praise a non-Jewish person. You should not go into great praise. Oh, wow, this person is incredible, right? Rather, it should be done through praising Hashem. But just to praise that person is lo sitim lohem chen. So we have two interpretations so far, and it's interesting how they see this in the word, because according to the first interpretation, Lo sichonim, the root would be chania. Chania means a place to live. And according to the second interpretation, the root is chen, which means to find favor. So then finally, the Gemara says that no, it's actually needed for a third interpretation. The Gemara says, if you skip a line, Ba'katimi boile, dehochi omer achmona, lo sitem lahem matna shulchinam. That what the Pasuk means to say is that the word Sechaneim has the root is Ches Nun Mem. Ches Nun Mem means Chinam, for free. Lo Sechaneim, don't give them things for free, which means do not give gifts to the non-Jew. So the Gemara ends up saying, if you go down one more line, the Gemara says, Shma Mino Kulu. So the Gemara says that all three of these interpretations are correct. And they cite a Braisa, Tanya Nami Hochi, Lo Sechaneim, Lo Sitem Lem Chania Bekarka, So in other words, comes out from this pasuk that there are three interpretations, and they're all correct. Number one is that you should not give the non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael a free pass. You should not give them land to live. And the understanding behind that is because Hashem wanted that Eretz Yisrael should be a holy place without outside influences. So that's number one. Number two is that a person should not get involved in excessive praise of the non-Jew. And number three is you should not give them gifts. Okay, you should not give them gifts. So if that's the case, so then this would create from the very outset a tremendous problem in terms of potentially giving any gifts for the holiday or for any other reason. In other words, if this was to be taken on face value, so then it would come out, you can't give a gift to a non-Jew. That means you can't ever give a co-worker a gift, a birthday present, you can't give them. And you couldn't even give, according to this, it would seem you couldn't give a tip to a cab driver or to a non-Jewish waiter in a restaurant. So is this, in fact, the halacha? Yes?
It says acharim osam. We're going to be carrying that one also?
No, so it happened. Okay, so good. So the question is raised. That, well, one second, why don't we all take a deep chill over here? Because you'll say, who is this pasuk talking about? This pasuk is talking about the seven nations. So if we talk about the seven nations, they're supposed to be annihilated. So what does this have to do with us today? Nothing. So the answer is that the Rishonim say that this pasuk was speaking, Behovah, this pasuk was speaking about these people, but it really meant everybody. But it really meant everybody. That's so say the Rishonim. You can look in the Rishonim here in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and you will see that they say that it applies to everybody. So the question is, if that's the case, then we're up the creek right off the bat. So what do we do? Yes?
And the rest of the pasuk too, or just that word?
Just that word. Just Lo Sechaneim. Lo Sechaneim, they say, means that means to the, yeah, no mitzvah to go annihilate the God. Anyway, you know, for other reasons, but right, there was no such mitzvah, but those were that word. So we have here, so that would be the end of the shir. You know, I'm finished. Nothing to talk about. Can you give gifts to a non-Jew for the holiday? No. Can you give them for any other reason? No. Okay, finished. Yeah, go ahead.
Make sure we're on the same page here. We talked about gifts of land in Israel.
Yeah.
But the other items are everywhere.
Everything, anything. Yeah, correct. Thank you for pointing that out. Yes. In other words, the three interpretations are totally independent. So one of them is you can't give them land in Eretz Yisrael, but the Lo Sechaneim means you can't give them anything, anytime, anywhere. Right, so what do we do about this? So here we are bailed out by the Shulchan Aruch brings from Poskim, if you look on the very bottom of the page, page one. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Kuf Nun Aleph, the Mechaber says on the left-hand side, Osu Litein Matnas Chinam Lovit Kochovim, She'eino makiro. So the Shulchan Aruch codifies this law with one little catch, that you cannot give a gift to a non-Jew who you don't know. Who you don't know. What does it have to do with the fact that you don't know? So if you look on the right side, the Taz in Os Ches, the Taz explains, the Gamze Nichlal below Sechonim. So he says, first of all, the basis for this halacha, the basis for the law, is because of the pasuk Lo Sechaneim, which means Lo Sitein Lahem Matnas Chinam, which means that you cannot give a gift for free. Says the Taz Aval in Makiro, but if this is somebody who you know, then Lo Have Alayu Shem Matona, then it's not called a gift. Why is it not called a gift? So he says Elokim Mechira, but rather it would be more like a transaction. Shaharei Yishalim Gmulo Lo, Okvar Shilim Lo. Because you're giving a gift to a person who you know, you're giving it either because of something that they did for you already or because of something that they're going to do for you. So this is not a gift, lishma. This is not like kvura is considered a chesed shalemis, you know, because it's considered the highest form of chesed because the person can't pay you back. The person who's passed away, they can't pay you back. So it's considered a chesed shalemis. So when you talk about a matana shalemis, what's a gift that's really a true gift? When you give it to somebody unconditionally without any hope of anything in return. But that's not typically what happens. When people give gifts, it's because there's a reciprocal relationship. This is my worker. So even if I'm not expecting a gift back, but I'm doing this in recognition of the fact that the person has worked for me, and I'm hoping that will continue. So in order to do that, I'm giving them this gift. So that's not really called a gift by the Torah's definition. That's not really called a gift, yes.
And that can lead to chen.
I'm sorry?
That can lead to chen. Because that leads to obsessive...
The second interpretation of Lositu Lemchein means you shouldn't stand and lavish praises on the, you know, sit there and say, this person is the most amazing thing. You're not supposed to idolize. This is not a good thing to say over to the, you know, all the kids who have posters of ball players hanging in their room, because really the truth is, you know, the athletes, unless you come across a Jewish one, right? So to say, really, a person should say, wow, you know, Hashem made Dwayne Wade such a great basketball player, right? But to just say Dwayne Wade is a great basketball player or whatever it may be, so that might not be that could be, but in this Isser, people aren't careful about it. So you get, yeah, but so that, but we don't find that Zera was made.
No.
Okay, so therefore, so to give a gift to a non-Jew, so this would include just about anything in the gifts that we give. In other words, this would be true. It's brought in the poskim even to give a tip to a cab driver who you'll never see again. The guy gave you a ride somewhere, and now you give him the car for, and you want to give him a tip. So you say, what would be the reciprocal relationship here? I'll never see this man again, in all likelihood. So they say, but other Jews might. In other words, you don't want him to become an anti-Semite. You don't want him to say, oh, I got stiffed by this Jew. So therefore, you're giving him the gift because you want to, you know, that it also has a purpose. In other words, any time, this is what the Taz is saying, any time it has a purpose, that's fine, because it's not really, it's an interesting insight. It's not called a gift. You know, a person that's true of people, even family members. You know, you give them a gift, you have to think to yourself, is this a real gift or is this because I want something back? So if, you know, you give me a real gift means that you're giving it without any strings attached, without any agendas. Yeah, yeah.
There are certain industries where, like the cab driver, where it's understood that part of what they're going to get is the tip.
Right, okay. All right.
But so that the IRS taxes.
Okay, that could be, but the question is, but as far as halacha goes, it would have to really be part of the fit. In other words, if they could see in restaurants now, they add it to the bill. Right, they add it to the bill. So if that's done, then it's probably, I would imagine, it's probably less of a question. But in a lot of situations, it's not done that way.
It means to ensure progress.
That's, yeah, Rosh Tavis, I never heard that before. Okay, all right, so fine. Anyway, So therefore, we have the right to discuss this matter further. And had it not been for this, the shiur would be over. But, okay, so thus a person can give a gift to a non-Jew and avoid this problem. Okay. Now, the question, it would come out according to this, it would be very rare to have a situation where you would be giving a gift to someone who you didn't know and had no shaykhus with. Why would you be giving them a gift in the first place? You know, but all right. So anyway, so that would be, you know, if you wanted to dress up like the Jewish Santa Claus and walk into Publix and start handing out things to people, that might be an issue. That would probably be an issue according to this. But and even then, if they knew you were Jewish, you wouldn't be Santa Claus, you'd be someone else, right? So then maybe it would be also because you're trying to build goodwill, maybe also it would be mutter. But to give an out, to the gifts that are given in the workplace certainly would not be an issue. Yeah, yes.
Giving like toys to like some of these things that they give gifts to
like, yeah, so that would be so. They, so if it's a charity, so the Gemara says, "Mefarnesin aniye akum imani yisrom ipnei darkei shalom." The Gemara says that we give. So if it's charity, you're allowed. That's beyond this. In other words, the Gemara says that because of darkei shalom, you're allowed to give tzedakah to non-Jews also, so that apparently that bypasses this. So if they were collecting for some needy cause, if it was a charity, but if it was just stam, like in the spirit of the season, you're just going to walk and indiscriminately hand out gifts, that wouldn't be the right thing to do, but that doesn't happen commonly.
What's the justification for office gifts, like you said?
I'm sorry?
You said office gifts are okay.
Yeah.
What's the justification?
The justification is because it's like a transaction, because when you're giving this person a gift, it's because either you want them to continue working for you, or you want the client to continue to patronize you, or whatever it is. So that's an investment. That's not really a gift. That's a business gift. That's a different connotation. Okay, so now we come closer to home. So the question would be, what about giving gifts for the holidays? Okay, for the holidays of the non-Jews. Here we are in the season, and we have this issue that it's widely accepted that gifts are exchanged at this time of the year in conjunction with the non-Jewish holiday of Christmas that comes up in a month. And therefore, the question is, can a person participate in this? So here is very interesting. So we find the very first Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah, which is the third quote here on page one. So the very beginning of the Masechta tells us a remarkable halacha. It says, "Lifnei ideihem shel avdei kochavim." The Mishnah says that before the holidays of the non-Jews, shlosha yamim, 3 days before the holiday of the non-Jew, aser loseis veloseis imahim. You're not even allowed to do business with them. You cannot do business with a non-Jew 3 days before their holiday. So says the Mishnah, and believe it or not, this is brought in the Pesach Halach and the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, you can't do it. Why not? So there are two reasons that are given. So one of them is that we have a pasuk. They both have Avodah Zarah related, but we have a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim towards the end of the parsha, that the pasuk says, let's see if I can find it here. V'chol asher amarti aleichem tishamer, it's not on the sheet. Right, b'shem Elohim acherim lo saskiru. The pasuk says that you should not mention the name of other gods. Lo yishom al picha, it should not be heard from your mouth. Lo yishom al picha. So first the Torah says that you shouldn't say it, lo saskiru, and then it says lo yishom al picha. So what is the addition of lo yishom al picha? So it sounds like it's the same thing again. You shouldn't say it. So the rabbis understood this to mean that you should not even cause that the name of Avodah Zarah should be said. So thus, according to one interpretation, the reason why you can't do business with them is because if the guy before his holiday had a successful business deal, so the presumption is, being that he's focused on his religious holiday, he's going to go ahead and give thanks to his God. He's going to say, oh, thank you for giving me this great deal that I just achieved right before the holiday. So therefore, the Mishnah says that for this reason, a person cannot do business with them, because doing business is going to engender that type of response, potentially that type of response, and that's something that the Torah prohibits, lo yisham al picha. That's one explanation that's given. A second explanation that's given is because of the fact that this involves the prohibition of l'fnei l'sitin michshol, because that you're putting a stumbling block in front of the blind person. How so? Because Goyim also are not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah either. It's not just us, right? One of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach is Avodah Zarah, right? A Goy is not allowed to bow down to an idol, or not allowed to go into a church, right? So therefore, by you giving him this feeling of satisfaction, because it's so close to his religious holiday, you're going to cause him, it's going to become like a religious experience. He's inspired. So he's going to say, oh, God did this for me. So you're causing or somehow increasing them, their participation in Avodah Zarah. So for these reasons, the Mishnah tells us that a person is not allowed to do business with them, and it would be an obvious extension, a kol shekein, that you cannot give them a gift. Because of this problem. Now, you'll say that this sounds, you never heard this before, but this is this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says this in Simen Kuf Mem Hei. This is brought with that Shlosh Yomim Lefnei Chagam Shalof Tekachavim. You're not allowed to do any business with them. Now, you'll say, what does this have to do with us? We don't have the idol worshippers today. Okay, so brace yourself for this. But we have, I hope he has it here. You leave it off the sheet. Yeah, here it is on page one, the second to last paragraph. The Rambam says in the Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in the ninth paragraph of the Hilchos Avodah Zarah, get ready for this one. He says, Hanotzrim, the Christians, Ovdei Avodah Zarahim. The Rambam says that Christianity is considered Avodah Zarah. Right? Islam is not. But Christianity is considered Avodah Zarah. Okay, now here it comes. V'yom Rishon and Sunday, Yom Edom Hu. And Sunday is considered their holiday. The Sunday is the day they go to church. He's not even talking about December 25th. The Rambam says Sunday is the holiday for the non-Jew. L'fichach osur loseis v'loseis imoyim be'eretz Yisroel. So he says, so therefore, you're not allowed to do business with them in Eretz Yisroel, Yom Chamishi v'Yom Shishi, Shebechol Shabbos v'Shabbos. So the Rambam says there is a distinction, the Gemara makes a distinction between Eretz Yisroel and Chutz La'aretz. I guess in Eretz Yisroel they were more, the Goyim was a bigger issue. So in Eretz Yisroel, the Gemara says the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha of the Mishnah, of Lifnei Yidem, Shlosh Yomim, applies in Eretz Yisroel. But in Chutz La'aretz it only applies on the day itself. So the Rambam says that therefore 3 days before Sunday, in other words, you cannot do business on Thursday or Friday or Shabbos with Goyim in Eretz Yisroel, right? He says, "Ve'ein tzarech lomi yom rishon atzmo shehu osur b'chol makom," and you certainly cannot do business with the non-Jew on Sunday because that's true all over the world. That's what he says. Okay, so this is amazing, right? The Rambam said an incredible thing. In other words, the Gemara said, so to clarify, the Mishnah says, Lifnei Yideim Shol Ovdei Chachavim Mishlosh Yomim. The Mishnah says it's 3 days before the holiday. The Gemara comes along, Shmuel, and the Gemara comes along and says that that's only in Eretz Yisrael. But in Chutz La'aretz, it's only on the day itself. So we would think, all right, so it's not so terrible, so you won't give a guy a gift on December 25th. But the Rambam comes along and says you can't even give him a gift on us. You can't do business. Not just gifts. You can't do business. You can't do business with a guy on any Sunday. So you'll say that outrageous. Whoever heard this, you have to close your store. You have to discriminate who walks into your store if you're open for business on Sunday. How could this be?
That's in Eretz Yisroel.
Huh? In Eretz Yisroel, you couldn't do it even on Thursday or Friday. Shabbos for sure you couldn't. But Thursday, you couldn't do. In other words, according to the Rambam, you couldn't do business with a Christian in Eretz Yisroel on Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday of every single week. In other words, the only days you could do business with them would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's what the Rambam says.
You couldn't give his business on Sunday, but he can come and buy.
No, you can't get his business either, because by getting his business, he's happy. He did big. He succeeded. In other words,
he's spending on Sunday.
Oh, you mean he's buying? Yeah, but they're also losses means buying and selling, because if he buys something, he's happy he bought it. He's happy he has it. He's happy he has it. So that's also, oh, look what I got. Such a wonderful gift. So a wonderful acquisition I got. So he'll go give thanks to his Avodah Zarah.
My point was going to be, if he's doing service for you on Sunday, he's an atheist. He works on Sundays.
Oh, you're saying if you have an irul, so we'll see in a second about that.
Okay,
so the question is, so now this would be devastating, right? If this is halacha l'maaseh, but you'll say, how could it be that here I am and I've never heard this halacha? So the answer is because of the fact that the poskim in this Shulchan Aruch bring down, it's discussed in the very first page of Maseches Avodah Zarah, that Beis Amin Aleph, there's a long tosis there where he asks the question outright. He says, how come we're not careful about this? How come nobody's careful about this? So tosis brings down two, there's several answers. Tosis brings three of them, but the two major ones I will mention. And that is, number one, is Tosus brings down, he has a proof from a Gemara, that there is a heter that's called Mishum Eva. Mishum Eva means that if there's going to be animosity, if this is going to cause animosity between the non-Jew and the Jew, so then they had a proof from a Gemara that this would be allowed. In other words, the whole prohibition is an Issa D'Rabbanan. Who made this up? The way this is saying the Torah, you can't do business with them 3 days before. So we said that it's based on the Tzukim, Vayisham al-Picha, and Melag Lefnei Vosit Nichshol, but it's not an outright Issa D'Oraisa. In other words, it's because it touches on these prohibitions. So therefore, in, by an Issa D'Rabbanan already, there's room to, there's a little more flexibility. So here, they felt, if it would be Pikuach Nefesh, if it would be a life-threatening situation, then even an Issa Hatari could allow. But in Issa D'Rabbanan, so then there's room to say that the rabbis didn't mean it if it would cause this problem. In other words, if it's going to cause hatred, and the Jews, especially living in Golos, have to be very, very worried about that, even in Eretz Yisrael, but certainly living in Golos. So therefore, if that's going to be the case, then it doesn't apply.
But
then shopping, it doesn't.
Shopping.
Huh?
Shopping. In the mall and stores.
Yeah, right.
That's not going to create any.
Well, in other words, because I guess if the word would get out that Jews don't buy from non-Jews on Sundays, so then it could create like what why not, why don't you come on, especially today when there's no, you know, the popular conventional thinking is that there shouldn't be any sort of discrimination, everyone should tolerate everyone else. So if the word would get out that Jews don't patronize non-Jewish shops on Sundays, that wouldn't be too good. So therefore, Mishum Eva, they allow. I mean, the truth of the matter is that when the poskim spoke about Eva, they were referring to the countries that they lived in, which, you know, were far worse in terms of Yashrus and anti-Semitism. But even in America, it's true that this chashash exists. Yeah.
I was
going
to come back and say that it's the Rabbanan when Marvin Azara, darshan of the word, right, of the pasuk Otzachanim, is saying that that's the Raisa. That's how you understand one of the.
Yeah, but this wouldn't be no. So Lo Sechanim is not a problem. Lo Sechanim is not the issue of here. Lo Sechanim is only if it's chinam, matnas chinam. If it's a reciprocal relationship, it's not Lo Sechanim. Here, it's a different thing. In other words, here it's because it touches on the fact that Lo Yishama Alficha, that you should not be the cause of a non-Jew praising his God. So here, it's not guaranteed that's going to happen. Whatever, it's only a possibility that would happen. So the rabbis prohibited it, but they allowed Mishum Eva. That's one heter. And the second heter, which is brought in the Trumas Hadeshim, which probably a lot of people are thinking would apply, is that the non-Jews today aren't so religious. They're not so religious, so therefore they're not going to go give thanks to their God. A guy has a good business deal. You know, religion doesn't play into these things. And business is removed from religion. You know, thanks God for, you know, the more general, the vaguer things in life. You know, maybe his health will thank God for it. But business, I'm a good businessman, right? So he won't run necessarily to give thanks to his God. In other words, the Trumas Hadeshim says that in the times of the Gemara, the Goyim were frumer. They were frumer, so therefore a person had a good business deal, he would go to his idol and he would go give thanks. He'd run into the church and he would say, oh, thank you so much. But today it's not like that, so therefore on that basis also it could be allowed. So this is the reason why we've never heard of any such prohibition, especially not on Sundays. We never heard of such a thing in Chutz La'aretz. However, it should be pointed out that the contemporary poskim do say that the one vest, these are all heterim, these are all kulas. So, okay, nobody's machmer in this. I've never, ever heard of such a person who's machmer. But the one time that a person could be machmer in this would be on December 25th itself, or perhaps on Easter, right? Which then there might be an inyan that if you want to avoid it on that day, you know, giving him a gift. In other words, to go ahead and go do business, that nobody does ever. But this, by extension, means you couldn't give a gift either. Right, couldn't give a gift. So to give, if you're behind on your holiday gifts, you know, if you're a last-minute person and you wake up, you know, on December 25th and say, oh my gosh, I didn't give any of my workers anything. I didn't give my boss, I didn't give my clients, what am I going to do? So it's a big question. So then it's already a shas of chak. You could probably, according to the halacha, even give it then. But preferably a person should not put himself into that situation. In other words, if you feel compelled to give a holiday gift, in other words, what the Rambam said about Sunday, nobody does. That I've never in my life heard anybody that's careful about that. And for that, everybody relies on the heterim, especially because you see in America, you know, at best people go to church, and how many people even do that? And it's not like a big religious experience. But on the whole, let's say December 25th is different. That is different. So, okay, so then to give a gift on that day preferably would not be the right thing. To give a gift in advance of that day would be okay. The Chutz La'aretz would be okay, right? And certainly doing business, yeah.
And yet many Christians do tithing, which is directly related to income.
Right.
And it's directly related to the business that you're doing with them.
Right.
So don't you have an issue that by doing business with profit, they're going to tithe.
They're going to tithe it. Okay, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see that discussed. It could be. It could be, but maybe it's indirect.
But isn't it also true that there are many other poskim who said that Christians were not okay?
Right. But the accepted opinion. That's a disputed point. There's a Ramah in the Aruch Chaim who says that the goyim are not prohibited to believe in Shituf, whatever. I don't want to get involved with that. But the Rambam came right out and said it, that the Christianity, I think it's accepted that way, that certainly when it comes to giving someone a gift on December 25th, the best thing would be not to do it. Best thing, I'm just trying to go in order. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not looking to cause trouble.
Yeah.
In our commercialized society here,
yes, yes,
where supposedly there are less religious Christians,
yes,
the gift is the whole holiday for them. So it may be worse that we're doing.
Right, yeah, except that I think the whole holiday is void of meaning. So therefore it becomes just an excuse to get, you know, the American economy relies on this holiday. So therefore that already tells you something. You know, like it's a whole business experience, you know. So everyone is currying favors. You know, the bottom line is you give an expensive gift, we'll soon see. You know, you get an expensive gift, so there's no such thing as a free gift. A person who gets a gift already knows what that means. Yes, Rabbi?
Is there a distinction between Christianity and
Catholicism? So Islam, I think, is not considered Avodah Zarah outright. So it could be that's different. But Christianity, the Rambam says, is. So, okay. So, the other forms of Avodah Zarah is not common in the Western world that we live in, but the Christianity would be an issue. Sure. Yeah, yes.
It's not the same thing, but I've understood that around 20 years ago or so.
Yes.
On Halloween, they would give out, they would have candy ready.
Oh, trick or treat, have candy. Yeah, so okay, so that so
thing,
yeah, so that I assumed that the heter for that is Mishumeva. You're giving it to children, you know. I don't know that it's going to cause that would be mishumeva. I would assume if they know that you're not giving them, so all right, you know. I don't think people do it. It's also questionable what Halloween really is, as far as what type of observance is it. Does it have any meaning at all? It's a pagan holiday. There are no pagans today, so. Right, right.
So, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think with Halloween. That would be such a big issue. In other words, especially because you're giving it to the children. I don't know. What about Los Hachanim? So I assume it's Mishameva. In other words, if you know, especially nowadays, growing up in New York, if you didn't give them, then they gave you, right? You ended up with eggs all over your front door. So, you know, it was a reverse reciprocal, right? If you give them, they won't give you. So that was, okay, anyway, so that's as far as that goes. So therefore, really, as far as giving a holiday gift, it would be mutter if a person needed to do it. It would be mutter to do it. The only situation that it would be possibly would be on December 25th. And even there, B'Shas HaTchak, you could rely on these heterim if it really came down to it. Obviously, what we try to do is, being that B'chaste Hashem, we have a yontif at that time, so the season is a holiday season, so we try to make it innocuous. You try to say that this is for the holidays without specifying people. Sometimes Jewish people give the gift Hanukkah time rather than coinciding with Christmas. Okay, but if need be, then it would be all right. These are coolest. These are heterim, but the heterim are brought in the Shulchan Aruch. So the best thing would be if a person could somehow avoid, but if you can't avoid it, then you could do it. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Right. I'm not coming to the defense of the religious goyim
yes.
today, but some generalizations have been made here that I, you know, in regards to Sunday not being such a day, there's millions of goyim in church today.
Yeah, but the question is the ones that we encounter in America. In other words, I agree,
I'm
in the third world country. But they go to church and they're so from that day is like a religious experience for them. I agree there are a lot of people there. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Jews who go to shul on Shabbos in cars and then they drive away and they go home and do whatever they want. So
zealousness and belief of what they're doing.
No, but that's the issue. That's the issue, because zealousness is the issue.
Also.
because if you see, if there are, if, okay, if you know that there's a guy who's like that, then maybe you shouldn't be. But again, but it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, the heterim would apply. The heterim would apply Mishum Eva. And also, I don't know how quickly such a person is going to be. A person coming out of church, and you say, here, here's a, I'll do business with you, and the guy's going to run back into the church and say, Lord, thank you. I don't know that, how quickly that's going to happen. So, okay, if you know someone that it would happen, then you have a Shiloh. Okay, then you have a Shiloh. I'm not trying to undermine it. I'm just saying that the reality of what we see is that the Frumkeit, unfortunately, it's true. Forgive me for saying it, it's true by Jews also. The majority of Jews in America are not religious. So therefore, and a lot of them do go to the temple on, you know, they go on Shabbos, but what does it mean? You know, they go and they drive home, do all kinds of other things, Michal Shabbos left and right. So that's not the true religious experience. I mean, maybe in their interpretation it is, but we don't agree with that. But the fact is that I think that's true by the non-Jews also. In other words, in the Western world, unfortunately, in today's day and age, the religion has been put on the back burner. And without getting into it, I think you know what's going on in the Middle East with the extreme, the extreme Islam doesn't help any religion, because it just gives religion a bad name. Organized religion gets a very bad name because you see what these fanatics are doing. So you know, whatever. But if you know someone, yeah, then it would be a question. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just, go ahead. In general, do we today would
yes.
we rather a non-Jew, let's say in America, be a religious Christian, or to be not religious at all?
That's beyond the scope of the shir. That's beyond the scope of the shir. Today we're better because of the way the world is. So the irony is that today Jews and Christians stand side by side. For many, many, many centuries, it was very much not that way. So it's painful even to anyone who has a sense of history. It's painful to see because of what, we have to line up with them now in order to get anything accomplished in this world from a religious standpoint. For so many years, what the Christians did to Jews, how many thousands, millions of Jews were killed, in the name of that religion. So whatever. But okay, I don't want to get involved with that. Fine. So now, the next question that comes up is, all right, so you can give a gift, to a non-Jew, okay, for the holidays, for the reasons that we gave. Now the question is, what happens if you are the recipient of a gift from a non-Jew, and the thing that they gave you is not kosher, not acceptable? So can you turn around and do the old Shalach Manos trick, right? I'll go ahead, and I just got a $500 supply of steak from my client, right, because so happy that I did such good work for them, so they sent me a whole shipment of top-of-the-line steaks, which aren't kosher, so I cannot eat it, but I'll go ahead and give it to one of my workers. Can you do that? Okay, that's what's called, and everything today has a term, re-gifting. Re-gifting, right? Can you re-gift such a thing? So here we have one of the great surprises in Halach. I don't know how well known. I think people know this to some degree, but don't know fully. If you turn over to page 2, so in the second paragraph, the Shulchan Aruch says, quote, based on a Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Kol davar she'osur min haTorah," that anything that is prohibited biblically for a person to eat, even though it is permitted to get hanoah from that, but in hudavar hamiyuchad lamachal, even though you're allowed to get benefit from it, but if it is something that is exclusively eaten, so then osur lasos bo schara, that you're not allowed to do business with it. In other words, we know that in the Torah there are certain prohibitions of eating, and there are certain prohibitions of eating that are also prohibited by hanah. Like, for example, the most famous would be chametz on Pesach. You cannot eat chametz, and you can't get any benefit from chametz. So you couldn't even feed chametz to a dog, right? A person can get no benefit from chametz. So, too, we have the prohibition of basar v'chalav all year round. If you have milk and meat that would cook together, so that's also by hanah. And the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly, you can't feed it to a dog, even not to your dog, even to a stam dog in the street, because you get some enjoyment from feeding it to a dog, you have a good feeling, and that's already considered hanah. So you'll say, all right, but that only applies to very limited items. But what about, let's say, chazir? What about pig bacon? Right? So bacon is usur to eat, but it's not usur b'hanah. not osif on a person if they made some other item. You're allowed to play football, right? Even though the ball is made from a pig skin, or at least the expensive ones are, right? It's made from a pig skin, so you say, "Hi, it's osif on a." It's not osif on a. It's only osif achila, right? It's only prohibited to eat it, but you're allowed to get benefit. However, you cannot do business with a food item. In other words, not a football, because nobody would eat that. But if you cannot have a, you cannot be a non-kosher butcher. You cannot be a non-kosher butcher and sell non-kosher meat, even if it's meat from a cow. But it didn't have a shechita, right? So you're not allowed to use an aveli, you're not allowed to eat it. So the halach is, you cannot do business with it. In other words, other hanoa you could get, theoretically. In other words, let's say if you wanted to wear the hide of such an animal, that would be fine. Or if you wanted to wear the meat, you know, that would be fine. But to go ahead and do business, you cannot. Why not? So here, the reason that's given is because of the fact that it is a concern. There are two reasons brought down. The Shach cites two reasons. Number one is because if you do business with it, you may lose yourself and eat it. In other words, if you're a non-kosher butcher, so the whole day you're dealing with all kinds of non-kosher meat, so it's very easy in the course of the day, you know, you take a notch. You have some non-kosher salami right in front of you, and it's very tempting, it has a good smell, so you'll just eat it. So therefore, you're not allowed to do that. That's number one. And number two is because of Maris Ayin, because of the fact that it doesn't look good. A person, another Jew who sees you will think that you're doing that. Even if you're not, even if you say, well, I have very good control, I'm not so very good self-control, I'm not going to eat it, but it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good to other people. So therefore, the halacha is that you are not allowed to do business with non-kosher food. Okay? Well, yayin is even worse. We'll see in a minute. So comes along, hold on. So comes along the Ramah here in the Rashi print. So if you skip down a line, says the Ramah, v'afilu liknoso l'hachilu l'poal of ovdei kochavim is usur, that you can't even buy the meat. Not just you can't be the butcher, but you can't buy the meat to give to your workers. In other words, if you have, let's say there's you have a store, you have workers in the store, and there's a non-kosher deli on the corner. So you figure you'll be nice to them, and maybe, you know, instead of them, you know, having to go around looking for something to eat, you'll bring them lunch. So you'll bring them lunch from the non-kosher place. They're all non-Jews. So can you do that or not? So the Ramah, this is a big argument. The Ramah says that you cannot. The Shach is a little more lenient, but the Ramah says that you can't do that either, because that's also considered doing business. Okay, that is also considered doing business. Now, that being the case, if you say, well, then, so let's go one case at a time. If I want to give a holiday gift to my coworker, I have a partner or a client who's non-Jewish, and I know that this person loves steak. I know they love steak, so I'm going to go to the non-kosher store. I'll call them up and I'll say, do me a favor here, you know, send a case of the finest steaks you have to this worker. So the halacha is that really would be also considered doing business with it. And according to the Ramah, it happens to be, just to be honest, the Shach is a little more lenient, and therefore in a case of need, a person should consult with a Rav, because it could be that there might be a Tzad Heter. But basically speaking, it's not a good thing to do, because this is also called doing business with it. And it's not just to be the merchant, but even to take it and give it, and you'll give it as a gift, is like giving it to your workers to eat. So that's already not such a simple thing. However, yeah, go ahead.
You just had the example of this Baal Sadaka Reknetz,
yeah,
who gave $20,000 worth of meals to the soldiers at the Ethel.
So
we'd never see again.
Okay, good question. So first of all, I don't know if anyone brought him a Yeridea while he was ordering it. I don't know if anyone brought him a Yeridea. I don't know, but I'll tell you. We'll get to Atarim. They're Atarim first. One second. Hold it. You'll see in a minute.
Does the re-gifting apply?
No. So re-gifting, we didn't get to re-gifting yet. So far, we're talking about gifting, not re-gifting. Now, what about, so now, the Mechaber continues, see, it's not over yet. You gotta see, the good thing about Shulchan, you gotta read it all the way through, because you'd be surprised. Sometimes the bad news precedes the good news. Right? So we have here, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you keep going, he says, v'im nizdamnu litzayor, chaya v'of, the last three lines. What happens if a person is a hunter? And he puts out traps. In the old days, people would hunt animals. They would put out traps. And lo and behold, he caught a non-kosher animal. Or he's a fisherman, and he caught a non-kosher fish. So does this mean that he can't give it to a guy? He has to throw it back in? So he says, the bottom line, mutter l'machram. That doesn't apply. The isser does not apply to that. In other words, the isser, the prohibition, only applies to go out l'chatchil and get it. But if you got it already... Oh, we'll get in a second. So if you got it already, so then the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter. Okay, now, this being the case, so this is one great heter. Okay, in other words, to go ahead and order it for a non-Jew is questionable, whether it really should be avoided, because the Ramah says a person should not do that. But if you got it as a gift, so that's not any different than the fisherman who caught a non-kosher fish. I wasn't trying for that. I was trying to catch kosher fish. But what could you do? I caught a non-kosher fish, or I caught a non-kosher animal. So for that, there's no isser. So therefore, if you want to take the meat that you got as a gift, one of your clients got you meat or things like that, and you want to turn around, you can't eat it, obviously, but you want to turn around and give it to someone else, no problem. No problem. That's mutter. What's that? Mutter l'machram. Yeah, but this is, well, it doesn't say here b'chlal. Another, but it's all the same. In other words, you're not allowed to do scharu with it. So this is called giving a gift is also considered doing scharu with it. So this is all included in the heter. Yeah.
If you re-gift the steaks, like you said,
yeah.
And that's okay,
yeah.
Is that considered like doing
business? Yeah, but the heter is, in other words, the Shulchan Aruch is saying the only time it's usher to do this is for you to initiate it. For you to, in other words, there's a greater risk. If you're a non-kosher butcher and you're selling tarfus the whole day, so there's a very good chance that you could slip sometime and eat it by accident. You'll just take some of the food and eat it. Or it doesn't look good to the other people. People say, what's going on with this guy? He sits there a whole day selling, he sits in McDonald's a whole day selling hot dogs. But, you know, it just doesn't look nice. But if it's sort of like, it's not really a b'dieved, but it's sort of like the same concept. In other words, I wasn't trying for this. This happened. It came to me. So if it came to me, the halacha is you're allowed to give it. So says the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Now, so that means that, you know, in such a case, and Rabbi Kiveger in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch says this explicitly. He says specifically about gifts. He says that a person would be allowed to re-gift it. Okay, so to buy it l'chatchila is a question, but to re-gift it would be mutter. Now, there's another heter also, which is that if you notice the very beginning of this halacha, it says kol davar she'osim min haTorah. So the Shulchan Aruch proceeds to say that this is not true by something which is prohibited only midrabbanan. So therefore, something like cheese, a lot of the dairy products that aren't kosher are only not kosher because of the xeris that the Rabbanan made. It's not because not a chashash, but a lot of it could not possibly come from a non-kosher animal. So it's only xeris that the Rabbanan made. So if you wanted to give a cheese platter to a client, that you could do for sure. That you could do for sure because the prohibition is only on things that are prohibited by the Torah, provided that you know that there's no tarfus in the cheese platter. In other words, if it's pure cheese and they didn't mix in other chazerai, right? They didn't put in any non-kosher stuff, and it's just the kosher. It's cheese, but cheese is prohibited if a Jew wasn't involved in the process, right? So that you could do. That you could do. So cheese would be mutter, okay, meat, cheese you could even buy. Assuming you know it's pure and not the problem of not kosher, you could go ahead and give that as a gift outright. Anything else that's asur mid rabbanan also would be in the same category if you had something that had been cooked by a guy that you can't eat. It was bishul akum, you know, somebody by accident, the guy came into your house, the cleaning lady, and cooked something for you, and you didn't work it out in advance. So any heter, so that you could give away, but that you could even lechatchila, right? Assuming that it had been cooked by a guy. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have to be concerned about sending a letter to an office? Client is a goy, but they may have Jews.
Yeah. It could be. If you think that the Jews could come in there, it could be. It's hard to say for sure. It's hard to say for sure. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't work in the world, so I don't want to stand here. I don't want to stand here and I work in the Torah world. I don't work in the that world, so I don't want to stand here and say that you can't do this, you can't do that, because it's easy for me to say. I don't want to cause problems for people. You seek out a Rav who has experience in this. I don't really have experience in this, but I'm just telling you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. In other words, this is the din. The din is that when it comes to an issur d'rabbanan, it's mutter outright. If it's an issur d'oraisa, so then it's only mutter if it came to you. If it came to you, you could re-gift it. Yes? Oh, wine we'll get to right now. Okay, now the biggest problem comes up with wine. Okay, non-kosher wine, which is also unfortunately a commonly given gift. Okay, so when you come to non-kosher wine, you have a bigger problem. So this is one problem is that this following source is not on the sheet. So you'll have to trust me that the Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Kuf Chaf Gimel. So we know that wine of a non-Jew is prohibited, even though wine in itself is almost always kosher. There's nothing wrong with the wine that comes from grapes. What could be not kosher about it? So the answer is that there are two isurim on wine. Wine that was used for Avodah Zarah is prohibited outright. That's wine of Avodah Zarah. And even Stam Yenam, the Gemara says that even the ordinary wine of a non-Jew is also prohibited. Even if you know that they didn't use it for Avodah Zarah, we spoke about this once. Okay, so now the problem with this is that the prohibition of wine, the rabbis went wild on, right? And they said that not only is it prohibited to drink it, but it is also prohibited b'hanah. You can't get benefit from it. In other words, wine that was used for Avodah Zarah, you can't get benefit from. What about wine that was not used for Avodah Zarah, but is used, let's say, by Goyim today? So this is a question in the poskim. So the Ramah says that he brings down both opinions, that there are those who say that by the goyim today it's mutter, and then he brings that there are people who say it's usser, and he says v'tov l'achmir. The Ramah says that a person preferably should be machmir unless it's going to be a very big problem for him. A person should be machmir. So therefore, this already is an issue. Whereas here you have something which is only osam midrabbanan. We just got finished saying that if it's osam midrabbanan, you can give it as a gift, even chavchil. But wine is the exception. Wine is the exception. Wine a person cannot give as a gift because we are choshesh. We concern ourselves with the shita that it's osam b'hanoah. Even stam yenam is osam b'hanoah, and therefore you can't get benefits. So to give a gift is a benefit. So that already is a big question. This already is a very big question. The question would be, not just you won't buy it as a gift, but very often you're the recipient of such a gift. You're the recipient of such a gift, and there's stories, people have this, a guy gave him a $300 bottle of wine as a gift, so what are you gonna do in a situation like that? So the truth of the matter is, I hate to say it, but the truth of the matter is you pretty much just have to throw in the garbage. You can't do anything. In other words, so someone will say, you know what I'll do? I'll bring it to the liquor store and I'll get credit. I'll go, so I'm not going to drink it, but it's a $300 bottle of wine. So I'll go to the liquor store and I'll tell them, just give me half. You get $150 credit in the store and they'll be drinking, Shiva's Regal for the rest of the year after that, right? So you can't do that either, because that's also Hanoah. That's also Hanoah. So this is a real issue. So, how you even handle it. In other words, a lot of times, it's chaval, they send you a whole case of wine. A whole case of wine. What am I going to do with it? I have all my coworkers there, their eyes are popping out when they saw the gift. I'm the boss, and look what the client just sent. Wow! Look at this wine! Unbelievable! A whole case of it. And I know I can't drink it, so I would make each one of them so happy if I gave them a bottle. One bottle per person.
Just make it happen.
Okay, so the question is, so if you already got it, if making it, so to make it hefker, but if you make it hefker in your office, so you who do you think is going to get it? You know what I'm saying? So I saw a story online, a cute story, that somebody was sent to their house, so they put the bottle of wine, they decided to make it hefker, so they put the bottle of wine in the front of the house on the front lawn. So they said, and then the bottle disappeared. And the guy said that for the rest of the year, his daily newspaper was brought right to the front step. In other words, it was no longer just tossed onto the lawn. And the rest of the year, he got it to the... So good. So that's all right. That's a no. You know. So he didn't mean for that to happen. Okay. So it's a very big question. If it's one bottle of wine, the right thing to do really is just to throw it out. To give it one second. But if it's going to be a hefsid meruba. What the Ramah says, tov lahachmer. It's better to be machmer. It could be that in a certain case, a person, there could be a tzad heter. A person should really seek out a rav on this, you know, if it happens. But you know, certainly to go and order it is not something you could do. And to go ahead and just give it to someone I saw someone else who said that the fellow has a secretary. So he told the secretary that all the gifts that come in for the holidays, I want you to keep a ledger, and you should just know that when wine comes in, you just take it. You just don't even give it. You just write it down, and I'll read about it. But just, when wine comes in, it's yours. I have no interest in it. And he announced that in advance. I don't know if that's okay. It could be that's good. I don't.
I was thinking you have such a relationship with this guy that he's going to give you this such fancy blah blah, but you might not even have a relationship with where it came from. It's just a business, and they send it to you. First, I'm saying it's your best friend.
Yeah, all right. And right. No, know, I'm saying that you feel bad throwing it out.
No. My point is, why can't you just confront the person and say, "I'm sorry, you know, I'm really."
You could do that. You could do that.
But now okay. I'm thinking also, you might be a corporate.
I don't know how easy it is. I don't know. In the world, you know, if a client sends you a bottle of wine, and he's really trying to impress you, and he's trying, you know, look what he did. He bought you a bottle of wine. Yeah, he's an incredible, incredible bottle of wine. So what are you going to do? You're going to go tell him I can't take it. But the problem is that you're sitting on a gold mine. You think to yourself, well, it's a chaval, I'm going to throw this in the garbage. So yeah, go ahead.
What is part of the gift basket?
If what? If it's part of a gift basket, so then that still doesn't help as far as giving it someone. You can send the whole basket with the bottle of wine. I assume the wine is a key component. I assume the wine is a key component to the basket, so that would be Anah, I assume. Yeah.
I was once at a Shiva house during Holomoy, and a big gift basket came with comments in it.
Yeah. Okay, that happens too. So there, you basically have to get rid of it right away. And the person has to have in mind, he doesn't want it. In other words, because you have a lot of problems. When a gift comes into your house, there's also what's called a kinyan chatzah. You have a lot of issues. In other words, it could become yours. So you have to right away say, I don't want this. It's understood the person doesn't want it. So then you get rid of it. But anyway, all right. Anyway, just to finish up. So, quickly, go ahead.
I didn't hear when it comes, you get a basket and there's this. But then you look around and you go, oh, that's OU, that's okay, that's a circle.
Right.
So you can pick and take?
Yeah, you can take the kosher stuff. You can take. You know, the question I think was the other way. Can you give it? Now, if you're ordering a gift basket, and in the gift basket is a bottle of wine, but there's also a lot of other things.
Okay.
So I think, I don't know. I think I would assume the wine is a key component. Anyway, all right. So this is pretty much the story. As we approach the holidays, you know, there's a lot, as you see, hopefully, there's a lot of room for heter, especially b'shas hachag. And a person has to assess the situation. You have a relationship with a non-Jew, and you know, everybody's b'sholem, and you're not looking to rock the boat, so you have to be very careful. People get very insulted if you don't take the gifts. You have to know, it's worthwhile to know the halacha, you know, just to know what you can and what you can't. There's certain things you just can't, you know. You can't drink. A guy gives you a glass of wine, you can't drink it. Look, he tells you, this is incredible. Hey, come, let's make a toast to the business deal that we just consummated. And he gives you a non-kosher. You can't drink it. That's an issa there's no heta for. But in certain other cases, you just have to be a familiarity with the halacha makes it that a person has a working understanding. And if it came down to it, a person could ask an appropriate shaila. And hopefully, with that in mind, we should all be able to do the right thing. Be able to do the right thing in this upcoming season. Go ahead.